Genesis chapter 13. There's so many lessons you can learn from in the Bible. Some of them are good examples, and some are bad, unfortunately. And the one we're going to look at now, the Bible tells us in the New Testament that he is going to be in heaven. The Bible says just Lot, meaning justified. So if the Bible says he's in heaven, he's in heaven. But if you were to look at his life and you'd see what happened, you'd wonder, well, it don't sound like he would have went to heaven. Seemed everything, all the people in his family, their lives were destroyed, they were ruined, all because he was a Christian, but you couldn't tell. And so that's what we're going to look at here in Genesis chapter 13. When you find your place, if you would please stand in reverence to God's holy word. Now, here, of course, is Uncle Abram, who, of course, is Abraham. God would rename him Abraham. And he took his nephew Lot with him to Egypt. And then all, as they're coming back, the Bible tells us that, you know, they were very rich in cattle, silver, gold. And there seemed to be a lot going on with the flocks and the herdsmen. And so we'll pick up the story here. In verse 7, it says, "And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelt then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east and separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the wicked men of Sodom were wicked, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Let us go to the Lord a word of prayer, and I'll ask Brother Sal if he would pray for us.
Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this, there's one part of the scripture I want you to see. As we look here, we see the choice that Lot made, and it wasn't a very good one. The Bible tells us that Abram basically told him, you go one way, I'll go the other. But I want you to notice, when we look at Abram, we see the word in verse number 8. He says, let there be no strife, I pray thee. And then he says in verse 9, separate thyself, I pray thee. He had his mind focused on prayer. But that's not where Lot's mind was focused. Notice it said, Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So the Bible tells us that Lot didn't pray to God, didn't ask God what he should take. He took what was pleasant to the eyes, what he felt he could benefit from. But then we come to a phrase I want you to see, and this is what I want you to see. It said that Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And it says this, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. The Bible then tells us about Sodom. The next verse says this, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. In other words, that's not a town you want to go in if you're a Christian. Amen? And so here we see that that he makes a decision. It's the wrong decision. He didn't ask God which way to go. He decided on his own that he was going to do that. You know what? When you choose sight over faith, you got a problem. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't have the faith to believe that God would direct him in the right way. He looked and he saw and he wanted. And it's one thing that he wanted that area, but on top of that, the Bible tells us he pitched his tent toward, in other words, he was looking right at that wicked city. He didn't turn and face it the other way. He turned and faced to that city of wickedness. And so here we see that he had a choice, and he made the wrong choice. Because when we pitch our tents towards Sodom, we make the wrong choice. That's exactly what he was doing here when we see this. We're going to flip over to Genesis chapter 19. And we're going to look at verse number 1. It says, "And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom." Now, we've preached about Lot before, and if you remember, when someone lived in the gates of the city, it was a prominent place. The officials, mayors, city councilmen, that's where they were at. They were at a place of prominence. So when we see this, we almost see the fact that, you know what, when you become a friend of the Sodomites, you kind of go along with them. We don't see him trying to witness to them. Nothing's mentioned about that. What happens is you kind of, when you hug up to the world, you partner up with them. And when you do that, what happens? What happens as a Christian when you partner up with them? When you accept them, all of a sudden you all of a sudden excuse their sin. You all of a sudden look at them and say, you know what? Well, you know, I wouldn't do that personally, but, you know, to each his own. And we get apathetic towards sin when we start yoking up with the people of sin. Amen? Now listen, we're not to exclude people. Don't get me wrong. Well, of course, we got to go out and reach the lost. Amen? We need to be able to witness to the lost. But as far as giving our stamp of approval on their wickedness, it's wrong. And that's what Lot was doing. For Lot to get a position in that city, a prominent position in that city, Brother Juan, it was saying that he was saying what they were doing was okay. You know, there's some people I've met before that are from somewhere. Have you ever met someone that's from somewhere and they don't want to mention they're from there because that's not a good reputable place? You know, some cities, it might be a certain road that someone lives at, you know, or maybe in the valley. Maybe there's a certain place. If you say, well, I'm from here, they're, oh, man, not there, right? And some people are a little hesitant on saying that. But you know what? To represent them, it's almost like you're saying, yes, I agree with what's going on. Now, we know sometimes in politics that people will go to those places, of course, and they're trying to change it for the better. But most politicians, from what we see out in track record, it's normally not like that, is it? I'm just amazed at all the corruption in politics you see, all the corruption that's out there and everything else. But here's a man that is a Christian, and the Bible tells us he pitches his tent. In other words, he's looking right at him. And then the next thing you know, he's living with them. And he's got a prominent position, meaning these people voted for him. So that tells me something, because what I know of this city and what happens here with those angels that come in and what they want to do with them angels, something tells me if Lot, Sister Dee Dee, witnessed to them, they wouldn't have had him in that position. They wouldn't have wanted him there because of all the ungodly acts that were going on in that city. They would have said, forget it.
We're not letting him, you mean we're not electing him mayor, we're not electing him city council. He won't be heading up our school district, right? We don't want that in here. But yet, here's the Christian, and he's in there. They voted for him. So that lets me know, listen, his testimony, Sister Michelle, was nothing. He had a bad testimony. Amen? You kids, you've got people that you go to school with. I would hasten to say most of them aren't Christians, are they? But you are. You can witness to them. You know what? Some of them make fun of you. But you do it anyway. Why? Because you're a Christian. Because if you're truly concerned about those people, if you want them to be your friend, what's more important? Them going to heaven? Or, well, I don't want them to make fun of me, so I'm not going to say anything. You know the truth. You know without Christ, a person dies, they go to hell. Right? And you know some people that you know they're not saved. So what do? You witness to them. Lot didn't witness to them because Lot was popular. Some of these Christians that are out there that hug up to the world, they're popular, aren't they? If Abram would have went to that city, one of two things would have happened. Those people would have hated his guts and got rid of them, or God would convict their hearts and they'd have got saved. One of the two. But the problem most Christians have is we're not doing that. We're not witnessing. We're kind of like Lot sometimes. We just want to sit there and just I'll let someone else witness to them. You know what? I've got a pretty good job here. That's probably what Lot would say. I've got a pretty good job here. I'm not gonna mess this up. Yeah, instead you're gonna let them all die and go to hell. That's why it's important that we witness to people. Amen. Listen, if you care for those people, listen, if you don't care for them people, you still shouldn't want them to go to hell. You know what? If they got saved, maybe they'd become your best friend. You might say, I can't stand them. Well, you know what? If they're lost, you shouldn't be able to get along great with them. But if they get saved, amen, they might become your friend. So here's a position he occupied. He was in a prominent place in the city. And yet he would not speak out on their sin. And then we see in verse 13, these angels are talking. You know, I'm going to skip for the time's sake. I'm going to skip the story. But basically what happened is the angels came in there to Lot, and Lot sees them. He met them. He bowed himself, meaning he recognized who they were. He knew these weren't sinners. Amen. These were angels, and he's saying, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night. Wash your feet and rise up early and go your ways. In other words, he's saying, this isn't a place for you. Well, Lot, why is it a place for you? And here he kind of tries to protect them, and all of a sudden, when he gets a little spiritual, all of a sudden everyone turns against him, and the angels have to drag him in the house and shut the door. And then the angels put blindness on those people. And then they give them the message here. Listen, they receive this message from him. He says, for we will destroy, verse 13, this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And so here the message is given to them. And you know what? If our hearts are right, when we feel judgment is coming, what should we do?
Well, if we're doing anything wrong, we need to repent. But we need to be praying for those others. And so here we see that, you know what? His interest, the problem with him was his interests were there in that city. I'm sure they were paying him pretty good or something, you know, for him to live in the prominent place. I'm sure he's well to do. But all of a sudden these angels say, look, we're destroying this place. You got to get out of here. And it was almost as if he was numb to what they were saying. And you know what? When you hang around sin, when you get around people that are sinners, that are not saved, they don't know the Lord, you get around them and stuff starts happening and it's wrong. Sometimes you can't tell it's wrong because you've been hanging around them so much you don't remember the right. That's why it's important to stay in your Bible. That's why it's important to stay on your knees and pray. God needs to talk to you. God needs to show you. The Holy Spirit needs to deal with your heart to let you know, hey, that ain't of God. Don't you go into that. I know as a teenager, I remember the old phrases all the time. If you wouldn't do something that was sin, that was wrong, they would say, you're not cool. You remember that? You remember those days? Oh, you're not cool. You got to do this. You got to drink a beer, right? You got to smoke dope, or you're not cool.
No. If you're a Christian, you don't do those things, right? It's just the way it is. You need to stand up. Listen, Lot didn't stand up. So here, judgment's getting ready to come, and basically, notice what it says there. Verse 14, now we see the man who had his tent pointed towards Sodom. He was looking at all that wickedness. You know what that reminds me of? When sometimes we're pointed towards the computer or we're pointed towards the television and we're looking at wickedness personified, it's all over the place. Amen? Instead of being in our Bibles, instead of watching a few things that are good on TV. You know what you're doing? You're watching yourself, you're watching that sin over and over and over and over, and it desensitizes you to it, to where you accept it. Amen? You start seeing stuff and say, wait a minute, that's not right. I ought not be watching this. Amen? But he got to the point where this is how effective this man is. I want you to notice verse 14. Verse 14 says, and Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. So we know he had a couple daughters that weren't married, and he had a couple daughters that were married. So now, all of a sudden, they're basically saying, we're going to destroy this city. And Lot's probably thinking, you know, my wife is here, and my daughters that aren't married are here. But what about my daughters that are married? I need to go warn them. So he goes to them, and it says he went out and spake unto the sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But look at the next phrase. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his son-in-laws. In other words, they said, yeah, like you know God. Yeah, Mr. Prominent Person in the city. Oh, you're going to tell us now that the Lord's going to destroy this stuff when you were in it along with all these people. So what do we see here? What happens when you pitch your tent towards Sodom? You lose your testimony. This was his family. And yet he couldn't witness to them because of all the apathy he had towards sin. And now all of a sudden when God is merciful and sends two angels out there to warn them, to tell Lot he needs to get out, thank God for his uncle that prayed and interceded for him. Had his uncle not prayed, he wouldn't have survived. Amen? And I want you to think about this. Some of you have lost loved ones. If you don't intercede, who will? If you don't pray to God, God save them, who will? We need to have a burden for our lost loved ones, amen?
Here he is, they basically made fun of him. Oh yeah, preacher boy, yeah, you've really let him have it. And you're going to tell me you know the Lord so well that he's going to destroy this place. And they made fun of him, so of course they didn't go. And so here we see that basically he had a testimony at one time maybe, but he didn't have it there. So as he did all this stuff, all of a sudden, you know, the Bible says, you reap what you sow. That's exactly what happened to Lot. Lot decided to go by sight instead of by faith, and he continued down that path to where the fact that all of a sudden he hugged up to the world, he hugged up to the sin that was there, and he didn't say anything. In other words, by not saying anything, you're essentially saying you're putting your stamp of approval on it. What's happened today in America? You know what's happening today, Brother Juan? Sin's going on, and none of God's people are standing up saying that's sin. They're like saying, well, let someone else say it. Someone might make fun of me. I see some of these people that make a stand, and everybody just attacks them. I mean, it's like, ah! That's just the way they are. But thank God there's people that will take a stand. We need to take a stand. We need to say, hey, that's wrong. That's sin. Amen? They've become so inventive with all these words, their vocabulary now. You know, now, all of a sudden, there was some preacher that supposedly, they said, I don't know how, but supposedly this guy was a Baptist preacher. And he's kind of like some of these other preachers that you've seen, all these mega churches that seem to say that God accepts homosexuality. There's nothing wrong with it. Where's that in the Bible? Now, God loves them. Amen. Don't get me wrong. God loves those people. He hates their sin. And you remember the sin that you were involved in when you were lost? Are you involved in that sin still as much or more? Now, listen, you have a flesh and you're still going to sin. But something tells me if God moves in and you have a problem with foul language, you might have a hammer hit and you might accidentally say something. But can I tell you this? You're not going to be letting that spew out as much as you used to if you truly got saved. You're going to think, man, I don't want to say that. Lord's going to be upset with me. Why aren't we concerned about Him instead of everybody else? We're concerned about what everybody else is going to say. Well, what about what God's feeling? I saved you. You're here to serve me, and what are you doing? Look at Lot. What's he doing? And so here we see, listen, he was so caught up in that sin. Notice, now he's already been told that God's going to destroy the city, and those angels were there to take him out. You need to leave. You need to go. Let's go. Let's go. Move it. But notice it. Verse 15. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here. In other words, the other one, apparently there's no chance. He's ruined that. He's already lost them. Lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And notice it says, and while he, what? Lingered. He's hesitant. Think about this. Think what's happening here. Here he is. Two angels show up to tell him he needs to leave. God's going to destroy the city. And then the angels are saying, arise, get up, and get out. You know what I'd have done? I'd have run 100 miles an hour. And some of you would have done the same thing. But some Christians, you know what they do? They do the same thing as Lot. They lingered. Like, do I really have to leave? Couldn't you just like judge certain people and maybe just make them die of a heart attack? Do I have to leave this place?
When you get caught up with that sin and everything else, that conviction hits, you harden your heart. He hits you with conviction again, you harden your heart. Then all of a sudden, you get dulled to the Holy Spirit because you've been around it, saturated around that stuff so much that you almost take it as this is normal. Yeah, it might be normal for the world, but it's not normal for a Christian. Amen? It's not normal for a Christian to live in sin. Now, we do sin. We have a flesh. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, you should have a desire to serve Him. If you have a desire to serve Him, you're going to sin less. You're not sinless, but you're going to sin less. And your desire, when you're wrong, should be to get things right. There were a few times I can remember when my dad was mad at me. And you know what? I felt horrible. I felt I let him down. And I went to him to try to see if I could get his forgiveness. I never wanted him mad at me. Are you that close with your dad and mom at any time? You were like, man, I blew it. Man, they do so much for me. I wouldn't be here without them. Man, I need to get this thing right. But yet, we have our Heavenly Father, which did far more than our parents did for us. And we don't have that same thought with Him. We'd rather be around the sin and everything else as opposed to making Him happy. Shouldn't we want to please Him more than anyone, including our parents, including our kids? Shouldn't we want to please Him the most? Listen, here they are saying, we're going to destroy this place, and he's lingering like he just doesn't want to leave. You know, he's probably sitting there saying to the angels, couldn't he do something else? He should have got out of there. But when you're saturated around with that sin and you're around it all the time, you almost accept it as if it's normal. And it's not normal for a Christian. So here we see that he was hesitant in going. And notice it says here, verse 17, and it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither thou stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. So here they are, they're on the plain, and the angels are saying, don't even look back. You go forward and you go to that mountain, and that's where I want you. Get away from this. We're going to destroy it. I don't want you around this place. And notice his response. And Lot said unto them, oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Now, didn't God, Brother Smith, just save his life by saying, get out? And God directed him through those angels, directed him, I want you to, don't even look back, you go straight to those mountains. You know what? Those mountains were far away from the plain. He's wanting them to go far away. Get away from it. And notice what was said here. Behold now, here's his alternative. This city is near to flee into. He doesn't want to go far away from Sodom. He still wants to be near it. Does that remind you of anything? Do you remember the beginning of the story when he took that, the well-watered plains of Jordan, this is beautiful. And he sees that wicked city, he pitched his tent toward it.
In other words, he wasn't in the city yet, but he was looking right at it. He could see what was going on, and pretty soon he was in the middle of it. He was in that prominent city. Now he's saying, I don't want to get away. They're saying, get away. And he's saying, well, I just want to get a little, you know, I'll get a little away from it. You know why? Because that's all he could think of. That's all his wife could think of. We know that because of what happens to her just in a second. Think of this. God's saying, flee from that. There's some things he tells us in the Bible. Flee. Flee fornication. Doesn't he say that? But you know what? People won't flee. You know who did flee? Joseph. Joseph said, you can have my coat, but you're not taking my testimony. And she lied, and of course they threw him in prison. But I believe Potiphar knew that it was his wife. But he had to save face, so he put him in prison. But you know what? Joseph kept his testimony. Because I think all those people knew Joseph, and I think all those people knew Potiphar's wife. I would say that he probably wasn't the first one that she tried to seduce. So kids, can I tell you this? That's the problem with getting close to sin. You got to flee from it. Because if you get close, the flesh is attracted to that. Our flesh is attracted to sin. And if you get close, pretty soon you're in it. And what we need to do sometimes is say, I don't have no part of this. I remember when it was 1976. I went with my mom and my brother. We went out to California. Some friends that my mom was best friends with this one lady, and she moved out to California. And so my mom flew us out there to California. We flew out there to California. And I remember we were at some park. And I was sitting here and we were talking, and there were some guys not too far from us. And I didn't see what they were doing. I had no idea. But all of a sudden, the people that I were with, all of a sudden they run away from it. And I'm like, what? Let's go, let's go. And I'm like, what? And I just took off with them. And I was thinking, well, I don't even know I'm running, but I'll whatever they say, because they were bigger than me. So I'm trying to keep up with them. And all of a sudden, I found out later, those people had drugs. They were doing drugs. And the people I was with ran from it. That's a good thing. Amen? You see people with drugs, get away from it. Don't even get involved in that. You know how people drink? It starts with one. Try it. Pretty soon, not only trying it, you're doing it all the time. Amen? Drugs. Try it. Just once. Try it. Chicken? No. Just a Christian. Not supposed to do it. Amen? Because once you take it, then you want more. Then you want more. Because you want to fit in. Hey, they're doing it, so I have to do it. There's some things in my life I wish I'd never done. But you know what started out?
The devil used peer pressure. That's what he likes to use, especially on teens. Peer pressure. You want to fit in? You want to be part of the crowd? Do this. And because you want to be part of the crowd, you want to be with the popular crowd, you do things that are wrong, even when you know they're wrong, because you want to fit in. But can I tell you this? It's better that you don't do it. Amen? Don't pitch your tent towards Sodom. You go the opposite way. Amen? Flee to the mountain.
And notice here, he's given this excuse. It's almost like he's basically saying, no, God, not your way. I want to do it my way. I'll get away, but I want to be close by. Zoar means tiny place. This little insignificant place. It was still in the plains, and it was still where he could look at Sodom. God didn't want him there. God told him to keep going. Now notice what happens. And he said unto him, see, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also,
that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore, they call the name of the place Zoar. But notice, the angel said, I can't do anything till you leave. Now, Lot,
basically,
he lost his testimony. He had no testimony. We can just look at his family and tell he had no testimony.
But despite that, don't we serve a gracious God? Don't we serve a forgiving God, a merciful God? The angels were told, as backslidden as Lot is, you can't destroy that city till you get him out. A lot of times we think we're getting away with something. Well, God's just having mercy on us. We better get right. Because there might come a time where that judgment's going to hit. Amen? As I said, you reap what you sow. And so here we see. Here is. I just want to get a little ways, not too far. They were told, don't look back. Verse 26, but his wife looked back from behind him. And she became a pillar of salt. Can anyone tell me why she looked back? Because that's where her heart was. Her heart was in that city. She longed to be back there. So, thanks to Lot pitching his tent toward Sodom, so far, he's lost his two married daughters. He lost his wife. Now he's got two daughters left. And I'm not going to go into all this other than to say from verse 31 to 38, we find these daughters saying he has no one left, so they get him drunk, and they commit incest with him, and out of that come two heathen nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites, come from that. So what does that tell us? He lost those two daughters too. I wonder why he lost those two daughters. Maybe when those people were pounding on the door wanting them angels, and he said, no, no, don't harm them. You can have my daughters and do what you want with them. Maybe that had something to do with it. But he lost them two daughters too. In other words, when we look at Lot, he lost his entire family. He had no testimony in that city. All because what? All because he pitched his tent towards Sodom. All because he watched sin and watched sin and watched sin. All the wickedness that was going on, Brother Gale, he just sat there and watched it. Didn't say it's wrong. They would have got rid of it. I mean, when he tried to stand up, when he was trying to protect those two angels, when he finally said, you know, do them no harm, they turned on him. So that tells me, up to that point, he never spoke against their sin. Because if all of a sudden he's in a prominent place, and all of a sudden he says, don't harm them, you know, you can have my... In other words, he's telling them you can still sin, but that was weird. But still, on top of that, they saw it as he turned on them. Oh, you're going to tell us what we can do or what we can't do. Right? So that lets me know that up to this time, he didn't say anything to anyone. When he saw the wickedness here, he didn't say anything. When he saw it here, he didn't say anything. When he saw it over here, he didn't say anything. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, and he watched. Watched and he watched and he watched and he lost the testimony. But worse than that is he lost his wife and his daughters. I believe you go to heaven, Lot will be there. But I believe when we're at that judgment seat of Christ, for those rewards, I think Lot's going to be one of those ones like this. he's going to be ashamed. And if we're not careful, we're going to be doing the same thing if we pitch our tent towards Sodom. Listen, the Bible tells us, I know we're in the world. But Jesus said we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're pilgrims passing through. If you're saved, you're a pilgrim passing through. This isn't our home. Our home's in heaven. Amen? But as a child of God, we need to start speaking up. When things are wrong, get away from it. Say something. Amen? When kids are other kids are trying to get some of you kids to do drugs, get away from them. But I don't have any friends. You don't want those friends. Amen? I'd rather have no friends than have those kind of friends. Because you know, those are the very friends, Brother Gale, I'm sure you've seen this. Those are the very friends that will get you involved in doing stuff that's not right. And you guys get caught and they run and they leave you alone and you're stuck with it and it's put on you. I know one young gentleman got involved with some other guys. He got caught.
He didn't rat out his friends. So guess who got in trouble? He did. Wasn't his idea, according to him, but he got in trouble. And I said, oh, so that's the kind of friends you want? You want friends that'll get you into trouble and they get out of it. You know what he's been? He was pitching his tent towards Sodom. And he yoked up with the wrong crowd. And when you yoke up with the wrong crowd, I guarantee you, you'll pay for it. And if you're a Christian,
you're going to pay for it. You know why you're going to pay for it as a Christian? Because you're God's child. He's going to chastise you. Right? He's going to chastise you because you're his child. If you're the devil's child, he'll leave you alone. Right? He'll try to convict you of your sin and get you saved, but he's not going to whoop you because you're doing what comes natural to you. But a child of God knows better. Amen? That's why I believe
the people that are going to suffer most in hell are going to be the ones that were saturated with the gospel and they refused to listen. Where's your tent pitched toward? Is it pitched toward Sodom? So let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. And Lord, we look at Lot's life and it's sad to see that a Christian could allow those things to happen, have none effect, lose his testimony. Lord, I just think of him losing his family over what he wouldn't stand up for. He wouldn't confront those that sinned. He allowed it to happen as if he put his stamp of approval on it. And I think that today in America, that's what we see most Christians as, is, you know what, we don't say anything. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. But by us being silent, when other people see us as Christians, they say, well, they must accept it. They're with them. They're allowing it to go on. Listen, we need to stand up for what's right. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us, Lord, to not pitch our tent towards Sodom, to see that wickedness and just over and over and not do anything about it. Help us, Lord, to flee that stuff. As the angels told Lot, flee to the mountain. That's what we need to get away from that as far as possible. Lord, I know that we need to warn these people. We need to go out and tell people judgment is coming. And thank God Christ died for your sins and he can save you. We need to get the message out. We don't need to be in the midst of that sin and not saying anything. We need to get proactive and not be silent. Because when we're silent, our testimony is destroyed. And it's one thing that it cost you something. But it's another thing when maybe it cost other people something. How many people might go to hell because you stay silent? Maybe God is sending you, calling you, you witness to Him. Listen, God knows best. And He knows that maybe you're the best witness for that person. But yet if you remain silent, maybe they won't be influenced by that other person as much as they would have been by you had you not told them about Jesus. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, you come to this altar. If you're here, you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, come to this altar, raise your hand. We'll have someone take the Bible, show you how to be saved. Maybe you got your tent pitched towards Sodom. Maybe you need to come down here and say, Lord, I'm turning that tent around. I'm going the opposite way. I'm going to do what's right, not what's wrong. When I see wrong, when I see sin, I'm going to call it sin. I'm going to be a witness for the Lord. This altar's open. If the Lord has spoke to your heart, you come.